Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints Podcast on the UBS Market Moves Podcast channel with my colleague, Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, as always, great to catch up with you. I know a lot of moving parts at the moment driving market activity, investor sentiment. For one, markets seem to have recovered from their July indigestion with many stock markets setting new all-time highs. Then we've seen a coordinated currency intervention by the U.S. Fed and the Bank of Japan. It's been an unusual move, and U.S. President Trump has called it a sign of friendship, so I'd like to get your view on that. And then finally, I noted that your last UBS Viewpoints letter argued that we should consider Sisyphus, the hero of the ancient Greek saga, a happy man. Maybe we can also touch on that. But let's begin, as always, Burkhard, with your thoughts on the markets. What's your take on the swift recovery of the recent tech correction?
Sure. Look, I think there's a very simple explanation and also an important principle behind it. You know, I think this sell-off in July really illustrates perfectly well what is also called Occam's Razor, which is named after a medieval British monk from the town of Occam. He argued that the simplest explanation is usually the best one, i.e. you should shave away extra and unneeded assumptions. Some call it KISS, the keep it simple and stupid nowadays, which of course is another way of putting it. Anyway, the point is, forget all the complicated theories which predicted just a couple of weeks ago that the summer's tech correction was the sign of a much deeper stock market rout. The simplest explanation was quite simply the implosion of a too-big-to-fail hedge fund, if you will, which had been run by a 24-year-old who had no previous investment experience and was widely considered a wunderkind in Silicon Valley. Naturally, the pressure when he looked to reduce and liquidate his more than $40 billion tech exposure, which included leverage, weighed on global tech stocks during those hot weeks of July. But good enough, the fund was taken over, as has been reported widely, and as we know is now in very capable hands, as again has been widely reported. So my take is the correction was really a buying opportunity, and I think that's also what we discussed back then. And I'm happy to see that BMO, the fabulous earnings momentum, which we mentioned here as well, continues to drive our roaring 20s bull market scenario to these new all-time highs.
Well, Burkhard, that's certainly been a relief for investors around the world, too. Speaking of the world, I want to touch briefly on the joint currency market intervention by U.S. Fed and the Bank of Japan, which took place last week. We haven't seen such interventions for quite some time. So what do you make of this recent development?
Well, you're right. I think that was quite unusual, even historic, if you will. It was the first U.S. yen intervention since 2011, and it came right on the heels of the yen plummeting to a fresh 40-year low late last week, Thursday or Friday, I think it was. Clearly, the rationale, that's my take, was that the risk of a collapsing yen could be a risk to Japanese government bond yields, and that in itself could spill over into global markets, which frankly happened before. Remember, I think August 2 years ago. And that could potentially also drive U.S. Treasury yields higher. Now, the problem with all these interventions, you know, they're more common in Europe, frankly, is that take Japan's 250% government debt to GDP ratio. It's massive government debt to GDP ratio, the highest among rich nations, which is what's weighing on the currency. And meanwhile, bear in mind that Japanese bond yields remain well below U.S. bond yields. Add to that an aging society, continued fiscal and monetary policy expansion, and you can see what's been driving the yen down for now round about 40 years. So, frankly, I'm not sure the intervention really fixes the root cause of the yen devaluation. And by the way, an interesting detail about the intervention was that the U.S. Treasury actually sold euros and not dollars against yen when intervening And frankly, I'm not sure if the ECB also took that as a sign of friendship. But anyways, in any case, personally, I'm skeptical that FX interventions can fundamentally change the course of history or the direction of currencies. They do by time and relief, I understand that, but ultimately, when a country is burdened by such enormous debt deficits and an aging population like Japan, my take is something has to give, and that's usually the currency. So the long and short to me is investors should obviously never fight the Fed, but in the longer term, I wouldn't be surprised if the yen remains a foreign funding currency of choice for many in global markets.
Well, Burkhard, thank you for that sense of perspective. Now, before we close out our conversation for this week, I also wanted to understand the perspective which you offer in your latest UBS Viewpoints letter. Now, in your title, you suggested that Sisyphus, the ancient Greek hero who repeatedly rolls a rock back up a mountain just to watch it roll down again, why would you suggest that this tragic figure would be a happy man? And how do you tie that back into money and markets?
Well, thanks for spotting this, Dan. Well, so here's how I came up with the story of Sisyphus. It was one of those hot and sunny days last week, of which we had quite a few this summer. I was cycling up and down some 6 alpine mountain paths. While sweating more than 10 liters, I covered 5,000 meters in altitude and 200K in longitude in one day. You know, my mom always gets upset with me when I do things like this. She thinks I'm totally bonkers. Well, she may be right, but of course one should never argue with mom. And truth be told, I absolutely loved every moment of sweating up and down those mountains, no matter how my legs were burning. And so I replied to mom, she should imagine Sisyphus a happy man. Now, if I'd wanted to play the wise guy, if I didn't, I would have told her that this comes straight out of Albert Camus, the French author who wrote in an essay, Il faut imaginer Sisyphe heureux. We must imagine Sisyphus a happy man. Now back to markets and the art of investing, and this is why I took the title. Of course, going up and down the mountains looks like Sisyphus rolling the rock up and down the mountain. Of course, markets also go up and down too, but good enough, they're more like two steps up and one step down. And yet the message Sisyphus has to investors, I believe, is to understand the value in adversity, to size opportunities when markets correct, to buy when others run for the hills. And plus, I also think there's an aspect of meaning and purpose. You know, the job of growing wealth, i.e. rolling the rock up the mountain, is hardly the meaning of life. Wealth is no end in itself. What matters is what we make of it. And by giving wealth a purpose, for example, supporting our family or future generations, we transform, as I believe Sisyphus would agree, the perennial struggles of life into our legacy. And while bumpy markets do sometimes resemble his famous mountain, we can dedicate our wealth to create a small mark in history. And that's my second reason why I love Sisyphus and why I believe we should imagine him a happy man. He would, I also think, have been a courageous, successful investor, and what's more, he would have enjoyed it.
Well, Burkhard, that's quite fascinating. I always enjoy our chats on markets and these other topics and hope you'll share more of these anecdotes and points of view during our next conversation. So looking forward to that. In the meantime, stay well, Burkhard. Great speaking with you as always.
Likewise, and thanks as always for having me. I also enjoy these calls and have a great rest of the afternoon. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.